Why can it sometimes feel like such a daunting task just trying to communicate with our fellow humans? Should be simple in theory, right? You approach another person, you say words and they say words back. Information is exchanged, maybe a connection is formed. Then you move on with your day. So, are we overthinking the whole social skills issue when we should just be getting on with it? Unfortunately not. Welcome to a new episode of the first of 2024. So happy new year from the Social Skills Doctor with me, Richard Gray, where we will be diving into social skills development through the lens of conversation strategies and the legacy of childhood. As we grow up, so we each become our own micro-universes, complete with our own defense systems. Anybody outside our personal universe must first be filtered through layers of suspicion and caution to determine if they could be in some way toxic to our ecosystem. New people must be put on trial to prove themselves to us first. Trust must be dispensed with great caution before we let them in and risk our personal information being turned into gossip fodder. What the hell happened to us? I mean, we weren't like this as children. We just wanted to join in the game and make friends. Then as time went by, we got hurt or betrayed by a friend, role model or guardian, and the first lines of defense went up. We were pushed into doing something we maybe didn't want to do, like being a school play or perform in front of our peers in some way. And it went badly. The humiliation sent up another line of defense. People told you bad things about yourself, put you down, excluded, mocked or bullied you, and your brain built another line of defense. Then, of course, we learned to model the behaviors of key adults. And if their behaviors were defensive, so another layer of defense was added to our own. Sadly, some version of this journey is what most children will go through on their way to becoming adults. Defending ourselves against the gossip, bullying, and mockery of our peers who have yet to develop their own ability to empathize. And the mudslinging of adults, warped and wounded by their own life experiences, and now unwittingly paying it forward to us. Some children will have a smoother ride than others, of course, either because they have well-adjusted, socially skilled parents and learned by osmosis, or they just figured out how to connect and influence those around them as part of a natural talent. Many children, though, never figure it out and will either stumble their way through childhood, attracting the bullies, or they will try to tiptoe through childhood, attempting to blend in like a chameleon, so the spotlight never falls on them. Is it any wonder then that good adult communication can be so hard to achieve when most are carrying this legacy of childhood baggage? The problem is, we don't lose the brain programming of childhood, we just internalize it and keep on using it in adulthood. And this is true regardless of whether you were the bully, and now you do it as an adult with words and perhaps some implied or actual threat thrown in. The bullied. Having been beaten down by life, you judge everyone as a potential threat. Your defenses are so well fortified that others can't get in, and your own personality can't get out. The chameleon. Now with a well-oiled defense strategy that has turned you into a people-pleasing follower that will join in with the gossip or do the bidding of the bully in a continued effort to keep that tide of negative attention deflected away from you. These three personality types are of course generalized. However, there is at the very least a kernel of truth in them for each of us, and we must break free of our inner child before we can move forward to greener, more prosperous social pastures. How do we break free of these invisible child cuffs? The brain programming intended to protect us as children, but which have now become our viruses in adulthood. What we need is a jump start, like a car with a flat battery on a cold morning. Only we don't need electricity, we need confidence juice. And what does social confidence jump starts look like? It looks like conversation strategies, but not like any you've ever known or tried before. Have you ever been the quiet one, the shy one, the one that avoids socializing because you know what the outcome is going to be in advance? In that case, you're probably also the person that's been told by well-meaning friends to just put yourself out there more, speak up more until your confidence grows and you get comfortable speaking. If you lack social skills due to shyness, social anxiety, or introversion causing a lack of practice, then it's simply not that straightforward. After all, would you learn to box just by getting in the ring from a cold start and trying to fight a more experienced opponent? No, of course not. You and your confidence would take a beating every time. So what do? You get some training first. From a cold start, conversations with new people need to be treated with the same mindset, because they're unlikely to go well unless you are very familiar with the other person or they are intuitively willing to carry the conversation for you. But who really wants to be carried, right? So let's now take a look at some conversation strategies, understand their purpose, their strengths and weaknesses, and how they can enable you to carry yourself. We'll begin with a few basic strategies, then follow up with a conversation super strategy and see how it can change your entire social experience. We'll begin with the ARE conversation strategy. ARE is an acronym standing for anchor, reveal, and encourage. Okay, so this is a basic introduction structure that you can use to get a conversation started when meeting anyone new. Let's begin with the anchor in this slightly tortured acronym. And it simply means to anchor the conversation with a comment or a question based on something you can see in your immediate environment. Here are some examples for full clarity. Because no matter what your environment, there will be something you can comment on to initiate conversation. If you're on public transport, there's the crowding, the punctuality of the service, the weather, the cleanliness or lack of, the view out of the window, etc. At weddings, presentations, networking events, there will be the addition of speeches, the content of those speeches, and the person delivering them. At parties and receptions, there'll be mutual acquaintances, food, music, and the venue itself. At a coffee shop, there will be cake and coffee selections. The point is that no matter the location, there will be something to spark a conversation opener, including some aspect of the other person, such as their hair, clothing, or accessories. And let's park any idea that your opener or your anchor has to be amazingly witty. That's only for the movies where the main character is armed with lines crafted by a professional team of script writers. Next up in the ARE strategy is reveal. And unlike anchor, this is more self-explanatory in that once you've made an opening comment, you reveal something about yourself. And this is followed up by E for encouraging the other person to reveal something about themselves in return. All right, so let's do an example. You're at a networking event where typically there will be someone giving a presentation. During the interval, you speak to another attendee and you say, "The speaker made some really interesting points on the subject of ... I've read all the books this speaker has published. Are you familiar with his previous works?" Okay, let's break that down. we begin with an anchoring comment. The speaker made some really interesting points on the subject. We followed through with a reveal. I've read all the books the speaker has published. And then we ended with an encourage. Are you familiar with his previous works? And that is your ARE conversation strategy in a nutshell. But your inner voice is probably already voicing the limitations of this strategy. Because life is not a Disney movie, where you get over a hurdle and go straight to living happily ever after. In a typical story, you have three hurdles to overcome. In our example, you've now overcome the hurdle of starting a conversation. But that's where the strategy leaves you high and dry. If you have some shyness or anxiety, your mind will now be filling up with thoughts about the second and the third hurdles of how to continue the conversation and build a good impression, followed by how to end it. Let's look at one more basic conversation strategy before moving on to a super strategy. And this one will be the Ford conversation strategy. And yes, you've got it. It's another acronym. This time standing for family, occupation, recreation, and dreams. The point of this strategy is to remind you of four common topics of conversation that you could dive into when struggling to think of something to say. Acronyms are perhaps the weakest of all memory techniques, which in turn makes this a weak conversation strategy. Let's riff for a few minutes on the pros and cons of a Ford strategy. Let's begin with the cons, which could be another way of looking at this strategy. First, and perhaps most obvious of the cons, is the catch-22 situation that it comes with. I.e., if you're looking to learn a few conversation strategies, it's probably because you're currently struggling with issues that cause your mind to go blank through shyness, or get hijacked by anxiety thoughts. In those moments during conversation, it's highly unlikely that you'll remember what Ford actually stands for. Thus, the strategy becomes self-defeating. The second major con of the Ford strategy is that assuming you can remember what it stands for, it does nothing to help you ask and answer questions in such a way as to provoke further and deeper conversation. These skills are where the real power of conversation begins. To wrap up the Ford strategy with a pro, it's fair to say that some people will value in its use as a springboard into some different topics. But once it's served its purpose and reminded you of a few different subjects that you could steer the conversation into, the strategy will take you no further. So far then, we've looked at two basic conversation strategies. Now let's look at a super strategy. And if you haven't heard of super strategies before, that's because there's only one place you can find them, and that's through the multiversal mind method. So let's answer the immediate question of how does a conversation super strategy differ from a basic strategy? The answer is that a super strategy will not leave you high and dry once it served its limited purpose. It won't abandon you. Instead, it will stay the distance and keep feeding you throughout the conversation. In the multiversal mind method, there are seven of these super strategies, and I'm going to briefly shine the spotlight on the first one called 10 Topics in Your Pocket. Every one of these seven super strategies are unique and support you in different ways, depending on your situation, be that a first date conversation or an interview, or just hanging out with friends. But one common element that unites them all, that is that they are grown up seriously effective with memory techniques. Techniques that the world's best illusionists use, but with a twist. They've been adapted to work hand in hand with specially created conversation strategies. I've chosen to highlight the 10 topic strategy for you because it is similar in purpose to the Ford strategy, only it's bigger, better, and way more effective. So let's do a side-by-side comparison. The four strategy gives you four topics, whereas the 10 topics, guess what, gives you the 10 most common topics that consistently come up in any conversation. The four strategy attempts to help you remember those four topics using an acronym. As I introduced them to you maybe 5 minutes ago, do you remember what each letter stands for? If not, that's okay. That was my point. Here's a quick reminder so your mind doesn't get distracted trying to recall. F is for family, O is for occupation, R is for recreation, and D is for dreams. The 10 topics in your pocket ditches acronyms and instead teaches you how to visualize a scene for each topic, then uses the chain link memory technique to link all 10 scenes together. Whoa, sounds like a lot of mental work, right? But it's easier than it sounds when you're instructed how to do it correctly. And even fun in a jigsaw puzzle kind of way, when all the pieces click into place and the bigger picture reveals itself. Now, I invite you to put this mental work into perspective. With an acronym, you can literally forget what it stands for 5 minutes later. But with the 10 topic strategy, you'll be able to effortlessly remember all 10 topics 5 or 25 years later. The point is, you will literally have this strategy at your disposal for the rest of your life. Now, finally, let's look at the question aspect of these two strategies. The fourth strategy doesn't even consider the construction of a question or an answer. It simply presents you with four topics, then it washes its hands of you. The 10 topic strategy, on the other hand, teaches you how to ask and answer questions using the concept of kindling. Unless you have a natural talent for conversation, or you've had some training, you may not know how to ask or answer a question in such a way as to enable the other person to keep the conversation going. In other words, answering a question using kindling massively increases the chances of developing the conversation into a roaring fire of back and forth information and anecdotal exchanges through which connections are made and friendships are born. Allow me to wrap up with an example to demonstrate what I mean. Suppose someone asked you where you come from. This is known as a closed question that requires only one or two words to answer, i.e. the name of the town you were born. But how would the other person then be able to keep the conversation going? Chances are the topic dies out pretty fast and you have to find a new topic to burn through just as quickly. But what if you answered the question with some extra kindling information instead? Let's see. If you asked me where I came from, or where I was born, I could tell you I was born in the city of Sheffield. It used to be known as the Steel City, but now it's known as the Garden City because of its 2 million trees, 13 city parks, 20 district parks, 50 local parks, botanical gardens, and Europe's largest winter gardens. And it's also the only city to partly occupy a national park. Now, the kindling in this response comes in all the additional information I gave you about the city, any of which you, as my conversation partner, could pick up on and use to branch the conversation out with. So in conclusion, before you take anyone's advice to just get out there and stop speaking up more, get some tools into your mental locker room first, in the form of real and literally unforgettable conversation strategies that will stay with you and continue feeding you throughout your conversations. Thank you. Keep safe, go forth and multiply your social network, and I will look forward to seeing you again in the next episode. Bye for now.